Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Greetings, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast. I don't know why I'm talking like this. I'm Matt. I'm the host. Excuse me.
It's because it's Orktober.
Yes, it's Orktober?
Orktober.
Okay, I thought you said Porktober, and I was what?
Orktober. I'll explain. I'll explain after intros. It's fine.
That's kind of gross. I don't want a meat month. Although up here, Thanksgiving is in October, so I will be having a meat month, whether I like it or not. Hi, I'm Matt. I'm the host. This is the Blizzard Watch podcast. We're off to a rollicking start. It's not my fault. They did things to me today. With me this week are, as always, my fantastic, amazing, possibly incredible, and any other, maybe uncanny too. I'm just throwing as many comic book expletives as we can in there. Liz and Joe. Liz, say hi.
Hello, everybody.
Got anything you want to tell people about before we get rolling?
No, let's get rolling. We do, like Joe said a second ago, we've got a bunch of topics to talk about.
Okay. Joe, you also should say hi.
Hello.
And so that's Liz and Joe.
Yeah. If anybody's curious about October, I'll tell you after the podcast. That's fine.
That's not at all scary. I'll tell you after the podcast all about October. Okay. Anyway, let's get started. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. I actually really did want to talk about this anyway, but I had forgotten in previous weeks and they've just kept rolling with it. Blizzard has been doing a lot, specifically the World of Warcraft team has been doing a lot to change up stuff that, you know, some people would call sexist or uncomfortable. And that's really cool. In my opinion, one of the things they did is they've added an incubus to World of Warcraft. Like, no more is it just going to be succubus models. Now we're going to get to have scantily clad dudes with wings. I'm not sure if the players will be able to summon them as well.
Yes, warlocks will have a glyph to choose a succubus or an incubus.
Which I think is amazing. I think that's really cool.
That's really cool. Yes.
I would actually like it if, like, other vaguely humanoid demon models that warlocks could use could do that. Like, if there was a female Wrathguard too, so we didn't just always have the big dumpy male one. But that's just generally me. I do think it's cool that we're not just going to have succubuses anymore. We're going to actually have incubus, and we're going to make that more inclusive. I mean, not that anybody really wants to be an incubus, but you know what I'm saying. It's good to have more choices. But they've been doing this a lot. I know I already knew just from going in that I was reading about the various changes to Black Temple. They changed a lot of names in Black Temple.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the
no more concubines.
Yeah. And Karazhan too.
Karazhan as well, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't they actually also adding male characters to Karazhan? Yes.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, the hallway leading it to Maiden of Virtue, and it was all, like, bedrooms and women in skimpy dresses. So mm-hmm. there are now male NPCs, and they've changed the names of a lot of the NPCs, so it's kind of less suggestive, I guess.
Well, one of the examples that I found looking through some of the links that Liz sent when we were in the email that I really liked is the Sons of Hodir quests.
Oh, those quests.
I don't know if you guys remember these quests, but I remember doing them back in the day, and I'm like, why are these quests all euphemisms for masturbation? Just straight up, that's what the quests were. They were all euphemisms for masturbation. It was like polishing Hodir's spear or something. Let me see if I can find it. Because here it is. Blowing Hodir's horn, mounting Hodir's helm, raising Hodir's spear, thrusting Hodir's spear, polishing the helm. And, you know, those are all euphemisms for masturbation and or just straight up sexual activity. That's just what they are. They've changed all of them now. So now it's like Hodir's call, placing Hodir's helm, forging Hodir's spear, how to slay your dragon, a vicious cleaning. So these all, they still actually kind of sound a little dirty. I mean, quite frankly, placing Hodir's helm and forging Hodir's spear could still be at least Victorian euphemisms for masturbation. But it's better.
Yeah, and
that I really think was a good change was your matar is so fat is now culling your cutter. And like, why was a your mother joke here? Like, what was the point of this? Okay.
I mean, WoW has a lot of stuff that's just like jokey pop culture references, but this was like an entire subzone where every quest was like a sexual reference. Or that one, Jor Mutter is so fat, like a fat joke. Why do we need this?
Especially let's be upfront. This is an expansion that introduced the Tuskar and had mm-hmm. Vrykul in it, neither of whom are skinny people. Like, if you're going to be making fat jokes, I mean, these guys? It's just dumb. As a fat person, this is dumb. But yeah, they changed all those too. That's cool. Quite frankly, I'm just going to come right out now. And if you're one of the people who's currently really mad that Blizzard is making these changes, go ahead and be mad at me because I think they're good changes.
I agree. These are things that always vaguely made me like scratch my head of why is this here? Like, why is this a thing? And I don't know. Like, it's maybe when I was 14, I would have laughed at some of these jokes, but I'm not immature. Or need like poop and fart jokes anymore, or like a lot of the stuff.
Okay, hold on. So. You don't touch my poop jokes, man. There's poop jokes, and WoW, you leave them alone.
No, but my point is, and like I know some people think that it's like, oh, they're becoming too PC or whatever. No, it's just honestly the game's been around for 16, 17 years. We've grown up, culture's grown up, things that were, you know, quote unquote acceptable years ago. Maybe not anymore. And it's okay for things to change and evolve and grow. Like, that's just the nature of things.
The other one, like, because Liz wrote the email, so I keep going back to that Liz sent all this stuff in. But I really like looking at the... My mouth is not working. You go ahead. You were doing a talk. You talk.
I really like the changes to Black Temple and Karazhan. You know, both of them have kind of this zone, which was sort of this part of the zone that was just sort of like... Okay, this is an area that's just women in skimpy dresses. And those were always kind of weird. Like, in the middle of Black Temple, you just suddenly walk into this room with, like, beds and cushions and all of these blood elf ladies walking around and a succubus patrolling. And it's like, what is this? This was, like, up until this point, this was, like, a dungeon full of demons, and I was slaughtering my way through it, and now it's, like, there's this weird bedroom.
Quite frankly, I don't need whatever implication this has towards Illidan's drives. Let me put it that way. I don't need to know this about him.
Yeah, it's a little weird and off-tone, but I like what they've done with these things, because they haven't just removed them. what they've done is they basically they've added to them. So it's like now it's not just women. So it's not just like it just by making it not just women, by changing some of these names, it really changes the context. I mean, one of the things about the Black Temple one, it's like, okay, it's like a little unclear. Are any of these people here because of their own free will, or are they prisoners and we're coming through and murdering them all?
And like, honestly, we didn't know any of that until like the Illidan book came out. And even then it doesn't make a really good, like,
yeah,
here's why they're here. It just kind of gives you a vague idea of why they're there.
And it's that's, like, yeah.
The context there is just so weird, but it's like, I've seen a lot of things saying, okay, Blizzard is being really puritanical and removing all sexual content. And it's not that sexual content is necessarily bad. It's just sexual content that's purely focused on sexualizing women is not great. And I mean, sometimes when we talk about like skimpy armor, you know, sometimes... Yep. You want to have that choice and wear skimpy armor and just, you know, you look hot, you look awesome, but you want to have the other choices. So you aren't always putting on plate armor and it's like a bikini.
One of my favorite sets of armor, one of my absolute favorite sets of armor is the Warrior Tier 10 from Wrath of the Lich King, from the Ice Crown Citadel. It's a great set, but on a woman, it's a belly shirt. And it's real irritating. And I got more irritated about it when Legion came along, because Legion puts it on a Vrykul woman, but puts the male chest plate on her. So it's not a belly shirt on her. It's a belly shirt on everybody else, but she gets to have real armor. That annoyed the... just had a moment where I couldn't get words out. If they'd made it so you could choose the belly shirt or not, like if there were two different ones that you could get, and then men could wear the belly shirt too if they wanted to,
yeah,
I wouldn't have any problem with it. It would be, it's dumb, but that's a thing in fantasy art for decades. But to have it only so, like, this goes with any of the stuff from, like, classic. There were various, like, the Jade Warrior armor and so forth. That's basically just, you know, it's a metal bikini. Literally, that's what it is. That would be fine if that looked like that for both, but it doesn't. On dudes, it's just a breastplate. It's just a breastplate with like actually some jagged patterns. It's actually kind of a cool breastplate. But on women, it's boob cups. And it's like the fact that they're doing this, it isn't them ripping stuff out. It's them saying, okay, you can still have it, but we're going to also have like a skimpy male version. We're going to have an incubus. We're going to have the ardent servant or whatever. That's the other thing, is they changed the enslaved servant to like the ardent something or other. They're making it clear that that person is there because they want to be there, which I think is a nice touch. But yeah, I don't get this idea. A lot of the people are saying stuff like, you know, they're like, Blizz, instead of doing this, fix your workplace problems. It's like, first off, they should absolutely do both. They should fix their workplace problems and fix this. And the people who wanted these changes in place are the people who worked there, who were pushing for it. And people who just left, who were pushing for it. This isn't like corporate. This isn't like, you know, Bobby Kotick didn't send out a directive, put in incubuses. No, this was the people who developed the game. This is the dev team finally getting to make changes they wanted to, because the people that were stopping them are gone now.
This is not like the low hanging, like, oh, appeasement type stuff. This is stuff that people have wanted to do for like Matt pointed out. People have wanted to do this for a while. Like, they've been vocal about it. They just now are able to do it. And we talk about this every week. Like, they're putting the dev cycles in there. So I don't know. Like, I'm fine with it. Like, I think this is long overdue in a lot of these cases for a lot of this stuff. So that's all I got.
Anyway, I just think the Black Temple areas and the Karazhan area look really cool on the PTR. And it's kind of the same thing. It's just they've changed some of the context. And there are both male and female NPCs there. And it's just like just some pretty small tweaks that just totally changes the meaning of this area. And it doesn't make it like less sexy or less sexual. It just makes it less tilted towards women in a way that's frankly really awkward and feels weird and uncomfortable. So,
yeah, I think generally speaking, it's like, sure, it's still objectification, but it's at least equal objectification. Because, like, look at this character. If you're watching us streaming this, obviously if you're not, you don't get to see this, but I just switched to the armor I was talking about. look at this. It'd be fine if this was available to everybody. If like your male blood elf warrior could go around like this, then I would not have a problem. But I got this armor originally when I was a male night elf, and I was wearing it as a transmog thing for years before I switched to a female night elf. And that's when I found out I had a belly shirt on. You know, that's the thing. You don't even know this stuff is happening sometimes, because it's happening like in instances like Black Temple or whatever, or in a suit of armor you don't even know about because you don't play female. And it's just like, it's time for stuff to get, you know, I hope they continue doing this. I hope they look at sets of gear and start doing stuff like that too. I would love it if they put in all those various belly shirt armors, if they put in both versions for both genders.
I mean, it's like the male, there's a set of male hot pants, and it's hot pants for literally everybody. I can at least appreciate that.
Yeah. If we all look dumb in these things, then fine. You know?
I mean, so like a male character wearing like what is essentially boob plate on females, you know, you're showing off those abs. I mean, you're working the abs. That's not a bad look.
No, as long as you're committing to it, sure, why not? I don't even really, like I said, I don't mind this look on my night elf. In fact, I use it quite frequently. I just wish that I'd had the option. Like, there's sometimes I'd rather have the chest covering, because it looks cooler for what I'm going for. And I like the set, so I wish I had both looks. But yeah, we should probably move on to other things, just because otherwise this will devolve into a transmog conversation so fast. You have no idea. I'm already getting us there. But we should probably talk about the fact that WoW Classic has got its Seasons of Mastery thing happening, which is essentially them bringing the concept of Diablo 3 seasons into WoW Classic, where they're going to actually start new fresh servers with level 1 characters. Everyone will be level 1. There will be no, like, you won't be able to do anything to add gold or anything to your character to make their leveling faster. You're just going to start at level 1 with everybody else. But they're going to speed up the speed of which content drops.
I think they're spreading the phases out over like a year instead of like 2 years or something like that. So it's got six phases, and it's going to be like you're going to get a new phase like every 2 months. So you're going to be really zooming through it.
And they've also made some changes. They've actually done the thing that they weren't doing when WoW Classic itself launched. They're changing buffs and debuffs and stuff on bosses. For instance, you won't be able to bring Rallying Cry of the Dragon Slayer into raids. The thing where you bring an Ixia head to Stormwind or Orgrimmar, and you get a buff. That buff will not come into raids anymore. So you don't, people won't have to worry about it. You can't get it, so you won't have to. They're changing boss health and other things like that. They're gonna have original mechanics from when the games first started. Like, keep in mind, all through WoW's life, they retuned bosses. But they're going to go back to some of the earlier versions of the bosses to bring in some new mechanics to increase the health and make it harder. They're literally going, they're tuning the fights to make them harder, which they had not done previously in WoW Classic. They just left them as they were in patch 1.12.
And certainly one thing we noticed when Classic launched is that people cleared through those raids super fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
super fast. So it'll be interesting to see it with these adjustments.
I'm interested in seeing that too, because we talked about that a while ago, like Matt and I, there's sort of like this weird difference between when the game first released and Classic now, based off of just experience and then player information, what's widely available for people. And so like doing something like this adds a kind of an interesting flavor to it, to kind of see exactly where players are at and what they can do. And I'm always interested in stuff like this, because I think it's cool to throw that curveball in and see how players react.
Yeah, I'm interested in it because of the thing where they're like, we're going back to earlier versions of these boss fights, because people forget this. WoW Classic launched on patch 1.12.
Yep.
Which was when Nexramas came out.
Yep.
But a lot of those earlier fights had been tuned initially much higher.
Some of them are downright brutal.
Like when you first went in to fight Rag, the fight was tuned much higher than it was in patch 1.12. By patch 1.12, they didn't care about it anymore, so they tuned it down so people could get through it faster and get up to Naxxramas speed. But obviously that wasn't needed in WoW Classic, so now they're going to go back and restore it to the way it was in an earlier patch. I'm hoping they start it the way it was when the game dropped and just like keep moving it up to see, like, tune it. If it's too hard, they can move it around. But I'd love to see that. I'd like to see them, you know, really try and get closer to what the experience was when people first walked into Molten Core. Because people didn't walk into Molten Core super geared and kicking butt. People walked into Molten Core and got their butts handed to them. It wasn't super easy the first time people went in. So,
and also, like when you were doing Molten Core for the first time, you might have been doing it in green gear that was fire resist and like almost nothing else, because you needed a significant amount of fire resist just to survive the Ragnaros fight. And kind of your standard dungeon gear that you would have gotten up to that point did not have that.
Yeah, there was
until
a,
you yeah, until you got the Molten Core gear, you were just you didn't have the fire resist you needed.
Yeah, I remember crafting the various the fire resist recipes that blacksmiths could craft that you got from Blackwalk Descent. Mm-hmm. You got off of the guy in the Grim Guzzler. You actually would go and buy them from him. So you had to get all the way through Blackrock to the Grim Guzzler. And there was a shield that dropped in Upper Blackrock Spire off Drakkaseth, the Draconian Deflector, I think it was called, that had fire resist on it. That I remember every tank had. There were purple shields dropping left and right in Molten Core, and they, you know, you would ignore them because you wanted that fire resist shield. I remember that. That shield was really good. I had that shield for a long time. I definitely am interested to see how they're going to move on with WoW Classic, because Liz is totally right. People were just running through this thing. Mm-hmm. Stuff content was like cleared up as soon as it dropped. Also, I got to mention this one. Liz put it in, but I also have to mention it because my wife told me to mention it. You can tame the Elex during the Brewfest event when the fight in Blackrock Descent. You can tame the pink Elex if you're drunk. I think that as we're recording this, the Brewfest thing ends tomorrow.
Yes. So if you're listening to this live, you still have a day to do this. If you are listening to the podcast, I'm sorry, you may have to wait a year.
Yeah, but you know, at least now they're tameable.
If you want a pink elephant.
And why wouldn't you?
I think this is particularly funny because it's like, these are hallucinatory elephants and you're just getting drunk and you're taming your hallucinations, and then they're just going to hang out with your hunter forever.
I don't think it would be funny if you could see them, but nobody else could. Like, they still were there. They were still pets. You could tank with them, but everyone else just sees you gesturing. Like, what is happening?
Last night in Raid, we had a pair of pink elix, you know, running through Sanctum of Domination with us, which is like high on the list of ridiculous things that you could happen in Sanctum of Domination.
Okay, moving on. The Nightborn thing I'm just going to mention, apparently they're going to have customizable hand glow effects for Nightborn in patch 9.1.5. But they also currently have messed up their faces on the PTR. Like, I guess they all look kind of hangry. Because I assume they're both hungry and angry. You know, they need to go get some magic or something. It's like, for Nightborn, magic is like a Snickers bar. You know, they eat the Snickers bar and then they feel better. It's like that with magic. So, you get the hand glow, which I mean, I don't know what it is, because I just play a warrior.
It's like arcane, like glyph things that sort of glow on your hands, and they're really kind of cool. And you'll just be able to customize those now. I just love when they add more customizations of any kind. Yeah. I don't play a Nightborn, but it's cool.
Yeah. And the last thing on here, I guess we'll mention real quick, and just so we can get on to some questions. But I don't know if you guys know that New World, the MMO from Amazon Games, launched this week. Actually, I guess it launched last week.
Last week.
And apparently Blizzard is not alone in not ever being able to figure out how many people are going to actually try to log into their game, because people are very upset at New World for having significant queues. I think, how long were they? Like, I read somewhere some guy had like a 20 hour queue.
Yeah. They were like that. I believe they had like 200 something servers at launch, and each server was capped at 2,000 players. And like, if you looked on Steam, there were 750,000 people trying to log on to New World. That was like their highest consecutive player number listed on Steam. So 750,000 players is more than what they had accommodated for by like a huge amount.
I'm actually kind of interested to see what that breaks down to too, because I know back in ye olden days, the WoW queue, a lot of it was also caused by bots and a lot of people trying to like auto log in and do stuff like that. I'm wondering, like, not that I want to say that the consecutive number of players that New World said is inflated or anything, but I'm wondering how many of those are actual like players waiting to get in versus people trying to take advantage of a brand new MMO economy with bots and stuff.
Yeah,
I would be very interested in. Yeah.
Any MMO is going to have bots.
I went and multiplied it. What they were prepared for was 400,000 people.
Which is pretty respectable, honestly.
Yeah.
2,000 times 200 is 400,000.
We are past the what I would consider the normal prime of MMOs, really. So like I think I can understand why they would prepare for that number.
No, I'm not saying that we're wrong to prepare for it. I'm just saying that's what they prepared for. 750,000 is an extra 350,000 on top of it. It's nearly double what they were expecting.
Sure.
So that's in a way that's really good for them.
Yeah.
That they had that much interest. However, it also isn't great because sure they've got all that interest, but if they can't actually supply it, that's a problem.
And it sounds like it's been getting better. They've launched new servers. And then there were all the people who came in on day one and they were like, I can't log on. There's a 20-hour queue. I'm deleting the game forever and getting a refund. So you got rid of those people. You can move on.
Yeah, it's almost always, I've learned from my years in World of Warcraft that it's almost always better to start the next day anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like whenever anything drops, I almost never jump on that day. The last time I tried to jump on the day something went live was Diablo 3.
That's why our raid nights are on a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, it just generally speaking, you might want to give it a day always. But that pretty much covers us for news, so we can move on to doing some questions for this here show. As is usual for us, if you've got a question for the show, you can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. If you don't put a subject line in there, then it just comes down to which one of the people who writes emails for us leaps onto that thing first. And usually I'm faster than Joe.
And sometimes we don't even wait. We'll steal something from the other one's queue anyway, because this is the thing we do.
Yeah, it's a thing we do. I do it more than Joe because I'm better at it. I don't know why I'm trying to pick a fight over which one of us is a better thief.
I wasn't gonna say anything, but okay, man.
But anyway, if you don't like email, maybe just, you know, had a bad experience, email killed your parents and you vengeance against email or whatever. We do have a Discord server. You can go to the Patron Q and Podcast Questions channel and you can ask questions there. We look at that first because, I mean, you guys are our patrons. It's why we even have a show or a website or anything. So yeah, that's a perk you get for being a patron. Consider supporting us on Patreon. Or you can go to the Q Questions channel, where we do also look for emails for questions. We call them emails just because we called them emails for years, and it's a thing that's stuck in my head. But at any rate, that's how you can get a question to us. We're super eager to answer them. They don't have to be about World of Warcraft. They absolutely can be, but they don't have to be. Plenty of other games. You could ask us a question about any game. I think at this point, we'd probably try to answer it. Like if you're just dying to know, like what's going on with this new like Doom guy me costume that you can put in and you can actually fight in you know Smash Brothers alongside Isabel from Animal Crossing. Yeah, you can totally ask us about that and one of us will probably have an answer. It
honestly,
won't be
I want to encourage people, ask other things, just go for it.
Yeah, see what you want to
try it.
If you want to go ahead and ask about dinosaurs, I'll talk to you about dinosaurs. Yeah, you don't know, man. Go ahead. Go ask about non-dinosaurs. Ask me about pterosaurs. Ask me about like ichthyosaurs. Ask me about synapsids. I got stuff for synapsids. But at any rate, we're going to actually move on to talking about World of Warcraft questions now because we have some. I'm going to say, Joe, you go first this time.
Sure. Our first question comes from Riptides. It still confuses me how, as creatures from the realm of light, they, the Naru, can become dark Naru filled with void energy. Begs the question, could all gods ever change into beings of light? I think we actually had a lore watch about that once, didn't we, Matt?
Yeah.
And
basically, the way I've always put it is it's real simple. And because I say it's real simple, it's going to be astonishingly complex and hard to explain. Yeah. But basically, you don't have one without the other. The thing that both the light and the void like to downplay in World of Warcraft, but it's still basically a point in the game. In the lore of this world, you can't have one without the other. Light causes shadows. If you don't have light, everything is darkness. There's no shadows. There's nothing. Everything is the same, so everything is nothing. But when you have light, when you illuminate, you create the shadows. And without the light, shadow doesn't exist either. Because as I said, without light, there's no shadows because there's nothing.
The
light
two are shadow, intrinsically tied together.
Yeah, they are part of the same. They are part of each other. They make each other. As a result, the Naru life cycle reflects this. The reason that they have the dark Naru thing is because it is part of their life cycle, because it is part of that cycle between light and void that light and void themselves cannot truly accept, that Zira can't accept. You'll notice that Zira doesn't want people to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
When you join the Army of Light, when Turalyon and Ilari join the Army of Light, Zira forbids them to talk about the void except as an opponent. She does not want, and she absolutely, when Velen says to somebody from the Army of the Light, he starts talking about the void cycle, that person is shocked.
Yeah, and don't forget, like, didn't they imprison, like, Illyria for a little while?
Yeah, they did. They absolutely did.
When she came back from her little void elf romp, all of a sudden, she wasn't allowed to interact with all the lightbound.
There was, like, a lot. Zira was very dogmatic about this. I think it is something that the Naru themselves are not of one mind about, as they are not of one mind about a lot of things. We did a talk, I think the last lore watch we did,
we talked about
how the Naru are not a hive mind, but you can have Zira, who's very important. She's a Naru prime. She's the head of the Army of the Light. And then you can have Adal, who's in the Army of the Light, but who clearly does not share all of Zira's opinions. He does not feel the same way she does. And that's reflected again in their life cycle. Their life cycle is one that goes from light to void. Now, does that mean you could have a light old god? I don't think it is likely.
But we don't know for sure.
But we don't know. We know that at least one demon appears to have embraced the light.
Lothraxian. You know?
Yeah. Now, perhaps he hasn't, because there's that whole thing about the Nathrezim as servants of Denathrius. It's entirely possible that's a sham. Who knows? But if his conversion is sincere, if he truly is serving the light, if he's embraced it, if a Nathrezim could do it, I'm willing to say it's at least feasible that an old god could do. I don't know what that would be like, because old gods are literally parasites. Like, in fact, if you look at the original term that the Tribunal of Ages uses for old gods, they're called necrophotic.
Yep.
And that means death light. So they're actually eating the light. They're consuming it. So it would be weird I don't know how they would become light beings, but I'm not willing to sit here and tell you they can't do it.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer to that one is going to be, because I don't know if we're ever going to get an answer to it. And it's something that does have some very interesting ideas to it, if it could be something that happens. Like, if like Matt pointed out, if they're currently parasites and they do nothing but feed off of the host they're in, but yet we know that they can produce things in a similar way to the Naru too, right? Like, we talked about this last week on Lore Watch, where the Naru that are born are, like, there's lines of descendancy, right? You have lines that dictate who's related to who.
Zira had Oros was descended from her.
So the old gods kind of have something similar with the way that they sort of, like, sprung forth brand new life from their bodies, right? Like, all of the old god creations, all of the old god creatures that we've ever dealt with were at one point part of the old god. Like
literally the Naraki and Akia were, like, being birthed out of Yogg-Saron's body. And I assume the other ones, but it's never specifically said.
And they all had their different lines of like familial lines to what old god they hailed from. And they had party lines across like based off of that, right? Like, they had, you know, their own interactions, their own ways of dealing with each other. Very similar to, like, how the Naru are. So, like, there is a certain amount of similarity between the two that could be very interesting to explore at some point. And maybe we'll talk about that in depth Maybe that'll be a lore watch topic. I don't know. I'm writing it down. Liz, anything?
This is lore stuff. This is out of my area of expertise. I spent the entire time y'all were talking thinking about what a light old god would look like, and I've come up with nothing.
Well,
so
instead of like, having a body made out of mouths, it'd be a body made out of top hats, right? Like
No. I want you to imagine C'Thun.
Okay.
C'Thun fixed in your mind. Now imagine C'Thun, you know, and the Sailor Moon music starts playing. And like C'Thun starts twirling and there's like a ribbons.
We already had. Don't take that from Garrosh. Garrosh has a magical girl transformation already. Thank you.
There can be more than one. There's more than one Sailor Sentai. There can be more than one, you know, magical girl anime villain from World of Warcraft. And C'Thun deserves to be pretty. Like,
are you trying to say that the giant eyeball isn't pretty?
No, I'm just, from experience here, I had somebody shoving my face into a camera today, and she made a point of how pretty my eyelashes are. C'Thun could stand to have some pretty eyelashes.
Fair enough. The light version of C'Thun just has eyelashes.
Yeah, just big glowing eyelashes and a really nice afghan.
That's his Naru sigil. Oh, all right, I think we should move on. This is going in the weird places. Liz, can you get the next one?
I mean, this next question is no less weird. This one's from 6K, and it says, question for the podcast. Now that Garrosh has been disenchanted, who is the angriest person in WoW?
Me. Let's move on. No, I don't know.
Kel'Thas.
I do want to point out that, like, literally after you defeat Soul Render, I'm forgetting the name.
Soul Render's fine.
Soul
Render Doorsbane or whatever.
You defeat the guy in Sanctum of Domination, and Garrosh is literally left as a pile of dust.
In the wind.
There's no wind.
Is there any wind in the Sanctum of Domination? I don't know. But yeah, it's just a pile of dust. There's no body. It's a pile of dust. So I guess we did disenchant him.
Technically, we didn't. He did it himself.
Cut to someone making an axe and enchanting it with Garrosh dust. And
I 100% would do that. If that was a component of a spell, you bet your sweet biddies I would do that.
I'm just like imagining you've got an axe and you ever get Zalatoff corrupted image of Gorhal?
Yes.
Do you remember the voices?
Yes.
So imagine you enchant this new axe with the Garrosh dust and it just starts saying Garrosh things at odd moments. I am superior. That's great. I just wanted to like,
I just want the axe. I just want the weapon at some point to go, I told you we should have killed Sylvanas.
Yeah, but you said it in a profoundly creepy and misogynist way, Garrosh. If you could have just said kill Sylvanas, it would have been
what? Wrong. This is my normal speaking voice.
It's the B word. Anyway, to try and answer this question about the angriest person in World of Warcraft, I mean, honestly, I got to think Ghen Greymane's up there.
He's calmed down a lot, though.
Yeah, but he still has his berserk button is still Sylvanas Windrunner.
Sure, for now.
We haven't seen him this expansion very much. So
that's true, absolutely.
We don't know. Is he like just really concerned about Anduin right now, or is he like super murder machine, want to kill Sylvanas? We don't know. So we haven't seen much of him.
I just have this idea that him and Tyrellian are like basically wrestling because Tyrellian keeps having all these weird ideas that are all light based, and Ganon's like, this is not a way to govern an entire nation. You have no idea what you're doing. Do it this way.
You wanted there to be a reason for it. I just thought you had them oiled up in your head. No. I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Honestly, we
can get Khagar in here too.
Honestly, my money for angriest person currently in WoW, now that Garrosh is gone, is Kel'Thas. He's got a whole lot of pride and anger still. 100%.
He's more like bitter than angry.
Yeah, bitter's a stone's throw away.
Yeah, I just don't see Kel'Thas as like, you know, an engine of rage. I see him as kind of just there, but you know, who knows?
Sulky.
But to get back to the concept of anger before we move on, because I don't think this is a tremendously serious question. I do think I'm glad I'm glad they moved Tyrande back a bit, even if I felt a little bit like the way they did it didn't really give enough focus to the enormity of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I am glad that they moved her back from the whole thing, because up until her little cinematic smackdown with Sylvanas, I would have said it was her.
Yep.
Even before Garage went out.
Yep.
Quite frankly. And I didn't mind. I'm one of the few people who was actually really happy to have angry Taronda, because it reminded me of original Taronda, who told, you know, Malfurion, F you, I'm going to go free him anyway, because I do what I want. But I didn't like that. Is the whole thing is like, once again, this woman has been through this hellish experience, but the fact that she isn't immediately willing to just make peace over it means she's crazy. Cause that's like, that was BS when they did it to Jaina, and it's BS now. It's not something I enjoy, but I did like Taronda in general.
I think they handled that better with Taronda, because when they destroyed Theramore and Jaina was like furious, everyone, like every NPC around her was like, you need to calm down. Why are you so upset? What's the matter? Why are you so angry? You being angry is upsetting to me. It's like, her city was just destroyed. Have some understanding, like a little understanding.
Yeah, I was one of the people who's constantly arguing that if anything, she should have been angrier. Quite frankly, you don't blow up a person's hometown and then be like, you know, just get over it. That everybody, you know, remember your apprentice turned into dust in front of you? Yeah, get over it.
And your friend sacrificed himself to save the people. And yeah, no, totally, totally. Just get over it. Just smile. Smile more. It'll be fine.
I didn't see quite the same thing with Taronda. Like, not as bad.
There was genuine concern with like the people around her, not just because she was angry. It's like, we know why you're angry. We're upset too, but you are going to burn yourself out. And what good does that serve anyone? There are still people left to lead. Like it was from a position of, we want you to still be with us. We don't want you to lose yourself, versus your pain is inconsequential and you being upset is upsetting me.
Maiev's Shadow Song is a good example of this. When Maiev's Shadow Song is worried about you, you're over there now. And Maiev totally, like, they sold it. Like, the Maiev character, her reaction was worked for me. It wasn't necessarily that she liked Taronda, but Taronda is High Priestess, like her or not. Whether or not you like her, she is the High Priestess of Alun. She's the center of their people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this thing she's going to do is astonishingly dangerous. And I liked that. I liked that Maiev, of all people, was like, if anybody is filled with homicidal rage, it's me. I mean, right here, Brofist, homicidal rage, that's great. But you're going to blow up. And this is not a metaphor. This is not me saying, oh, you're under too much stress. You're literally going to explode. You got to step back.
We have evidence of this. We have literally folks telling us what happened to them. Please. Yeah. And it's that meme like of the Eldorado where like they just like throw their hands up behind them and like, here? Yes? Yeah.
Yeah. So I did like that better. I definitely think Taronda was in the running for angriest person in World of Warcraft for a while there. And I do think she was justified in that.
Agreed.
I think when this is all said and done, Anduin might be.
Yeah, no idea how he's going to react at the end of this.
Yeah, I'm really curious as to how this plays out.
I'm actually a little nervous about that too.
Because
like, not to completely derail this from like the question, but I mean, that's why you folks listen to us, right? I'm very, very curious after all is said and done, what's going to happen. Like I've been joking, positing on Lorewatch a bunch of times that the Anduin we saw in the comics a long time ago was the Anduin at the end of Shadowlands, where he's old and grizzled and has definitely seen some things, because we haven't seen that Anduin yet. And like, I'm starting to think more and more that I might actually be close to right on that, because I can't see him coming out of this unscathed. I can't see the Anduin that existed before everything that's happened to him being here, being around. Like, how... being trapped in your own body and basically being piloted, but still being cognizant of everything that's happening to you and doing terrible things and being used to bring about like the end of the universe as you know it. Like that's got to mess with somebody like Anduin, who is so full of hope, who wants to see the best in everybody, who's so empathetic to like those around him, feels everything very, very deeply. Like this has to be his version of hell. I can't, like, I saw how Bane was, Bane Bloodhoof, how he reacted after just being exposed not quite to the same thing, and how bad he was. I can't imagine how Anduin's going to be. He he might be the angriest person in a while after this. Matt might be right. All right.
And then we all get quiet.
Yeah, sorry. That was kind of a deep.
You're up now.
Our soft little child that we have all grown up with, like we all remember Anduin as a kid in the throne room.
In those weird little pants and, you put him in.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And it's been 17 years that we've been growing up alongside Anduin. So there's this real connection there. And if Anduin goes kind of, I don't know, if Anduin goes kind of dark side, angry Anduin, I don't know, that's going to feel... It's totally weird. Understandable, but it's also going to be really weird because
honestly,
Anduin is
Anduin is the sensitive, artistic, smart kid that is now entering into young adulthood. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. This is when people have their start exploring goth stuff.
Yeah,
this is when he goes shadow because it's when you do that. It's when you discover, like, you know, oh, this music touches me. I'm serious.
I mean, if he starts listening to The Cure, we're all in trouble.
I mean, there was that cutscene in Battle for Azeroth where he went and just punched Rathion in the face, which was really satisfying. So he's not just a sweet, innocent kid anymore.
But yeah, Joe, you get to read the next one. And oh boy, I'm kind of sorry, man.
Okay. You guys are cool. Get it? Cool, because blizzards are full of snow and that makes them cold. Ha! Anyway, my question is, would you like to see something like Allied Races, but for new class skins, like you complete a quest line and your Tauren Druid gets Emerald Dream themed animal forms, or you now have an arms warrior who roots their attacks in high-tech gadgets if they're a gnome, or maybe a paladin who can make their ret spec be shadowy. Anyway, just an idea. Stay frosty, everyone. Ha, it's funny, because it's snow. No name associated with this one.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't like the cold jokes.
Okay. Maybe not the cold jokes.
I appreciate
jokes,
the promise.
I think the rest of it's really great. I mean, I am all for more customization, and there was the whole Mage Tower thing, which we are getting back in a way in 915, that where you could go and do this challenge and like druids would unlock new druid forms. And that was really cool that you could do that and give your character this complete other look. And other classes didn't quite get that. You got these cool new weapons, but you didn't get this like transformation. It was like transformative for druids, and druid forms are just, I mean, they're meant to be transformative, but it was just this total different look. So it would be cool if we had that kind of customization.
We've been talking about this for a long time, where instead of adding new classes to the game, you start adding more like artistic things or visual things to sort of make up the difference. And I'm not saying that it's not a lot of work. I understand completely that those art assets are a lot of work, and making those things is a lot of work. But doing something like that also comes with the idea of you don't have to balance it, right? It's not making a whole new class or changing the way a base spell or ability works. So I'm kind of all about this, and I'd be perfectly fine if like my gnome warrior has to go through like a trial of whatever and comes out of it with like high tech themed looking armor and weapons or abilities that revolve around that, or like the druids with the Emerald Dream forms. Stuff like that I think would be really, really cool. And it would add a whole new layer of player engagement. And we talked about customization. We talk about customization a lot. You could possibly have something that feels very much like what you've always wanted your character to be. And I say this on Lore Watch occasionally. A lot of us have stories in our mind from years of playing our character. My character Loader has existed in this game since closed beta, right? I've had a running just story with him, and having something that would fit that sort of story, like aesthetically, would make me incredibly happy. And it's something I've always wanted. And I can imagine there are other players that would want that too. It would be very, very cool. But again, I understand it would be a whole lot of work. Matt?
I am currently watching Matt play with transmog options on stream, which is honestly one of my favorite things. I mean, if I were in the game right now, I would be doing this too.
That's fair. And I think Matt's trying to talk, but I think we can't hear him.
I was talking. Sorry. But yeah, I did actually. I was flopping out to do some transmog while Joe was talking. I was listening, but I did want to mess around with my look because it actually was Right now, I've said this before. I've written posts about it. Right now, transmog is the most viable method of character customization because you can do a lot of stuff to your character now. Like, if you look at the character I'm currently playing, she's got a missing eye and scars all over her face. That's something that you can do. But I have to turn my helmet off for you to even see that. Whereas transmog, you can see what I'm wearing immediately.
Yep.
As soon as you see my character, you see what they're wearing. And that's something that I think transmog, it becomes very much a part of that whole thing. It is a customization option first and foremost. And because it is, and because it has so much power to shape the way you look about your character, that I think it should be incorporated into quests like that. And I would absolutely love if there were quests to get like we have the outfits for each race, the racial costuming. I forget what it's called, quite frankly.
Heritage armor.
Thank you. We've got heritage armor, but we don't have class specific. And we used to in classic, there were quests that would get you like a specific weapon or specific armor for, like, I remember the Fury Warriors, like there was a Fury Shoulders one, and there was like the Whirlwind weapon quests. I've actually got the Whirlwind weapons.
What about the quest to get mounts for warlocks and paladins?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a unique look that you could only get by doing this fairly difficult thing at the time.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing I'd like to see brought in. I mean, the class skin idea, I've long been a proponent of. I've gone and bought it times and time again. But it would be really cool if there was like a quest chain, and you know, remember the Warlock Green Fire quest chain?
Yeah.
That was just for green fire.
Yeah.
And how many, I don't know a warlock who didn't do it, even if they didn't plan on getting green fire.
Yep.
They still went and did it so they could, you know, switch back and forth. Imagine if there was a quest where you could get like, you know, a specific weapon that only your class could use, or a specific armor set, or you know, some new special effect. Like the one that really gets me is like blood elves should have a spellbreaker glaive.
Yes.
That thing's been in the game for years. We see the blood elves in Quel'Thalas. Yeah. The blood elves and the guards, spellbreaker guards in Quel'Thalas all have this weapon, and it's a glaive, but it looks different. It looks more like the weapons we're seeing from the Nightborn than it does like a classic demon hunter glaive. That should be something that all blood elves should be able to get. There should be a quest to get it. There should be a quest for, you know, big totem weapons for Torin. There should be a quest for, you know, ridiculous over the top hammers for dwarves. Everybody should have something. And it doesn't have to be a weapon. It could be like, you know, new tattoos for Draenei, like Lightborn Draenei could get new light tattoos. Demon hunters could get new demon tattoos. You know, I just think that'd be cool if stuff like that was put in, and it should, you know, having it be through quests is great. Having it be through like something like the Mage Tower would also kind of be cool. Like, let people do these things. Like, I imagine some kind of weird combination of the Brawler's Guild and the Mage Tower.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
like
great.
They had like, you know, constantly changing fights that could get you new cosmetic options. I don't know. Give me
a Brawler's Guild that lets me be a healer and gives me these options. Please. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I think we have time for one more, Liz, if you want to.
Well, this is another silly one. Flan asks, what sins do you think are on Theotar's sin stone?
Being fabulous.
And, I mean, is it a sin to be fabulous?
When you are that fabulous, it has to be a sin. I love Theotar.
I kind of think they must all be related to tea. I mean, like, overconsumption of tea, maybe there's a gluttony thing here because tea is great.
No. Do you know what it is?
No.
I'll tell you what it is.
Uh-oh.
Tea is a very specific drink. If it's not made with tea leaves, it's not tea.
Mm-hmm.
This whole time, he's been giving people tisanes and infusions. No actual tea. He's not using tea leaves. It's not tea. And he knows it. And he's just lying to everyone.
And that's also, you know, reducing your caffeine. Wow, that would be super rude. Super rude.
Good times. Matt, what do you want to do another one, or do we want
to? Sure. You guys don't have to read them.
Yeah, you're kind of in charge of this thing.
I'm sitting here on my pony, changing my looks. I changed to this look, which also uses that breastplate I was talking about. So. It also has the best axes in the game. I love these axes. They're from Blackwing Lair. They drop off of two different bosses. They're really cool, and I like them. Also, something I found out today is, you know the shoulder transmog thing where you can do two different shoulders?
Yeah.
I happen to have two sets of shoulders that have the same texture, but not the same model.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I can have weirdly non-symmetrical shoulders, but they're the same color and pattern, so it's hard to tell. It takes you a while to realize what you're looking at. This has nothing to do with anything. Go ask a question.
I'm going to ask this one, and it's not great, but I understand where it's coming from. This is from 6K. Did ActiBliz just speed run their lawsuit? Short answer, no. Long answer,
no.
They're trying.
They have so many lawsuits, my friend.
They're trying.
They're up to like, four that I can think of.
Like, they just settled for this one with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. But I believe that one's been going on. That was years in the making. And
all of this is years in the making. People don't get
The lawsuit from the state of California followed a 2-year investigation. So because we just heard about the settlement, I think it feels like they've kind of zoomed through this, but I do not think they've zoomed through this. This has been a long process, and they still have several lawsuits against them that
there's
have
the
not
SEC
concluded.
Complaint. There's the SEC complaint, which is being investigated. There's the Labor Relations Board one, which is still going. There's the lawsuit from California, which is still going. There's the shareholders lawsuit, which is still going. The EEOC lawsuit was probably the easiest one to settle. And as I think 100 people have pointed out, it was pennies on the dollar for them. An $18 million fund, barely noticeable.
Yeah,
the amount of money they make in a year. You know? So did they speed run their lawsuit? You could argue they speed ran one of them. But if you think after like multiple years of investigation, an $18 million settlement is just not that important compared to all the SEC one. If the SEC comes down, Joe can tell you more about this one. But if the SEC comes down on them, people who are actually on boards of directors can go to prison.
Yeah, not only that, but like that's the one that I think you're going to want to watch, because that's the one that has the most direct impact on executives, because it's not just the board of directors, it's also the C-level executives that are on the chopping block for that one, and they are physically named in the lawsuit. It's not just the corporation, and that's the one that I think is not going to be speed run, because that goes with insider trading, price fixing, and now it starts getting into not even just corporate assets at that point, but they go after personal assets to make amends and to indemnify the wrongdoing that happened. And the interesting thing is it's in the board of directors' favor to comply and assist so that they don't get caught up in it as well. And that one's not going to be speedrun. It doesn't matter what they do. There is no way out of that one. That's going to be a long, deep, and long-running investigation and lawsuit. And it just started. Like, I've seen some of these in the past take decade. So I don't know. There's no way they're going to speed run that one. So, but yeah, I think that's it. Unless there's anything else you guys want to contribute to that one, Liz.
Nothing except they are in so much legal hot water now. It's going to take time to get out of that.
Yeah. It's strap in, folks. It's going to be a long haul. Like, I hate to say it like that, but that's the truth of it.
I do think maybe it feels like it's been moving fast, but there have been years of investigation, and all of this is still unresolved. A lot of it's unresolved. So,
yeah. All right. But I'm going to do my outro thing and then turn it over to Matt to do his thing. So Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. My microphone is actually in front of my face this time.
Woo! So
words can be heard by people. I want to thank both Joe and Liz for putting up with me and for being on the show. It's been a day, so thank you both. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com or hit up our Discord server, our Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel, or our Q Questions channel. Thank you guys very much for being here with us, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.